So during this time of Advent, we've been lighting our Advent wreath each Sunday. We had the candle of hope. We talked about love and how love is the way through Jesus. And this morning, peace. And, you know, the Advent wreath isn't the only way that we kind of track this season. I don't know, do any of you have an Advent calendar at home? Have you ever seen or does anybody have an Advent calendar?
No.
No? I know for children's worship, they've been kind of keeping track of Advent, haven't you? So this is one example of an Advent calendar that I have. You know, typically they're pretty similar where they have 24 or 25 days that you use to mark and to track where you're at in Advent. Now, today I have some candy canes in here, but I bet you can guess what I would typically have in these pockets.
Chocolate.
Chocolate. And, you know, even the businesses, marketers, right, have caught on to this. And so you can buy Advent wreaths with all kinds of different themes. There's Star Wars Advent, I said wreaths, didn't I? Calendars, Advent calendars. There's Disney Advent calendars. So you know, there's all kinds of different themes for them. And then, you know, they like to get little samples of their products into these little pockets, right? So, you know, it might be chocolate. Maybe it's like 24 different kinds of jerky, you know. But the thing about the Advent calendar is it brings across a real human truth that in counting down, in waiting, we've been talking about this season of waiting, this waiting for the coming King. Sometimes we need a little bit of motivation. We need a little bit of inspiration to keep going as we wait. And so, you know, we've made it through 10 days. We're on the 11th day here of this Advent season as we move closer to Christmas. Let's see if this will. I didn't try this. Let's see if that's heavy enough to hold it. Hey, looky there. You know, as God's people waited for Jesus, they had the same issue. You know, I mean, they were waiting for years and years and years for this promised Messiah to come. And so sometimes they need a little bit of motivation. So we have prophets like Isaiah who wrote about this coming King. And then Isaiah writes in chapter 9 of his book in the Old Testament about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And so, as we lit the peace candle this morning, we're going to be talking about peace. And this is a peace that we're not going to find it down the street here or up over the hill. It's a very unique peace. So.
The first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From the roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions to the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nation will rally to him, and his place for the rest will be glorious. Our next is in John, and I had it marked, and then my marking went away. So give me 1 second. Chapter 14, 27 through 31. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I will be coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
So, you know, Jesus talked a lot about peace, especially the peace that he came to give. His peace, if we really think about it, is not the absence of conflict, the absence of trials, that there's going to be no more war. Rather, this peace that Jesus talks about is this calm assurance that Jesus is in control, even when the world around us is falling apart and in chaos. One of the names the Bible gives to Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he's not just called that because everything becomes peaceful. Rather, he brings us peace in the midst of our troubles. In these early chapters here of Isaiah, we hear of the damage that was caused by unfaithful kings, this damage that they had inflicted upon Israel. And yet, in the midst of all that destruction, in the midst of the pain and the fear, the people were reminded that in contrast to those imperfect and unfaithful kings, a perfect and faithful king was coming. The name of this coming king is Jesus. And Isaiah gives a glimpse of this anticipated Messiah in the 9th chapter, a couple chapters before what we read this morning. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Peace. Two artists were asked to paint a picture of what they saw representing perfect peace. So the first artist, he gets his canvas out, and if any of you go fishing, you'll resonate with this. And he paints this fisherman out in the boat in the middle of the lake, not much of a ripple on the lake or on the pond in the water. Peace. The second artist, he gets his canvas and he starts painting this raging waterfall. The winds are ripping the spray all about. There's this branch of a tree hanging over this waterfall. This bird has built a nest on this branch. And there that bird sat peacefully. She was safe from the predators because of the raging of this waterfall around her, shielded, protected by the roaring waterfall. Let me suggest that that is real peace. The result of remaining calm in the midst of raging trials and difficulties in life. That's the peace that Jesus brings. In this 28th verse here of John's Gospel, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's about to go away. He knew that he was going to die. And naturally, this made the disciples feel uncomfortable, fearful, anxious. You know, in their hearts, the future just seemed uncertain. Life was not going to be the same without Jesus. Maybe they had unanswered questions. You know, why is it that Jesus would have to go away? Can't he stay longer? What will become of them once their master is gone? Those questions could have been troubling, discouraging even, as they thought and contemplated about him. And I think, you know, most of us can probably identify with those kind of thoughts, you know, those feelings, those emotions that sometimes fall into our lives. When someone we depend on for strength and support suddenly has gone away, we wonder how we might cope. Will we ever see them again? Can I handle that void, that vacuum that's left behind in my heart, in my life? Now, what do we do when things like that tend to happen to us? We tend to become sorrowful. Maybe depression sets in a little bit because the future just doesn't seem to be as bright as it was. But you know, there's good news for all of us that when we find ourselves in that type of a situation, we can find encouragement, tremendous encouragement, in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. The coming king, as he shared with his disciples, he's about to go away. But then if we continue to read, he's going to come back again someday. And we find ourselves in that in-between waiting. Whenever the world around us seems like it's collapsing, we can rest on the words of Jesus. Our coming again, King. Peace he leaves us. His peace he gives us. Not as the world gives, but as he gives. And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So, three truths that I want to look at this morning about this peace that Jesus and only Jesus can bring. The first is kind of the nature of this peace. We've touched on it a little bit already. You'll notice that Jesus contrasts his peace with the peace that the world gives. What kind of peace is that? Well, the world say, you know, peace is when there's no conflict. There's no more wars. And you know what? That's a peace that doesn't last. Since the beginning of recorded history, when man started to write words down, The world has been seeking peace. And you know, it's only enjoyed it 8% of that time. In all of history, only 8% of that time has the world been in peace. In 3,521 years, there have only been 281 years when there were no wars that were being fought. Over 8,000 peace treaties have been broken in an average of just 2 years after they were made. The world's peace just doesn't hold it. One nation that has not enjoyed much peace is the history of Israel, right? God's people. They've always been troubled by wars and bondage and oppression and captivity and persecution. Maybe it's because of that lack of peace that the Jews, ever since the Old Testament times, the ancient times, when they would greet one another with the greeting shalom, that means peace. Whatever the occasion, the Jews would always use that same greeting, shalom. You could never tell if a Jew was saying hello or goodbye, because it was always the same. Shalom. Peace. Didn't matter if there was turmoil happening. The word shalom means more than just an absence of war or the absence of conflict. It refers to this sense of completeness, a soundness. And even though we might commonly translate shalom as peace, I just wonder if a better translation isn't wellness. Right? Shalom describes this personal inward peace, a deep-seated peace of the soul, a wellness, a peace that only Jesus can bring. We're not going to find that in this world. No matter what the world tries to do, it's not going to be able to bring a lasting peace, especially that kind of peace that we're talking about. Neither can the world give us this inward peace of wellness, right? This peace that our souls need, our most inner being, who we are, the essence of who we are. It's not this shell of the body that we find ourselves walking in and looking at each other in and experiencing each other. It's the soul. You know, there have been peace talks, there have been peace protests and peace initiatives and peace marches and, you know, countless organizations and institutions that have been set up just purely for the purpose of promoting peace and harmony. And yet we're so much further from peace, it seems, than we have been. The nature of this peace that passes all understanding, this peace of Jesus, this inner peace. We also need to understand my second point here, the source of that peace that we're exploring. Our Lord, our coming King, Jesus Christ, He is the exclusive source of that peace. We're not going to find it anywhere else, regardless of what anyone would have you try to believe. 700 years before He was born, the prophet Isaiah foretold that Jesus would be the Prince of Peace. From our scripture this morning, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child. That little child is none other than the one that we will be celebrating on Christmas. The one that we should be celebrating and worshiping every day of our life. He will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him. Well, okay, maybe we haven't seen that yet. But one day, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know, that night of his birth in Bethlehem, right? The Gospel of Luke tells us the angels filled the sky and sang that chorus. During his ministry here on earth, Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Do you remember that story? Jesus and his disciples, they're in the boat and this great storm rages. The waves, they get bigger and bigger, and the water's coming right up into the boat, threatening to sink it. And the disciples, they go, where's Jesus in all this? He's sleeping. So the disciples, they go and they wake up Jesus and they say, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind. He says to the sea, peace, be still. The wind ceased. Immediately there was this great calm. Folks, whenever storms arise in our lives, whenever we feel that type of tension in our hearts, the same Jesus still calms our hearts with those same words, peace, be still. My peace I give you, not the peace of this world. And you know what? Christ not only brings that peace to us, but to all of creation. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself as a thing, but that is all-inclusive. All things, all of creation, whether things on earth, whether things in heaven, okay, reconciling to himself all of creation, how? By making peace through Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. Colossians 1, 19 to 20. If peace is what you're seeking in your life this morning, don't look anywhere else except for Jesus. He goes on to tell us here in John the results. Right? What we can expect when we have this peace. So here's the third point. The result of that peace. Okay, we've talked about the nature of the peace. We've talked about where it comes from. It's that we don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be afraid. Imagine being those shepherds out there in the field. What were the first words that the angel said? Fear not. Do not be afraid. How does Jesus' peace thwart that? How does it stop that? How does it remove our fears so that we don't have to be afraid? The answer is in the way that Jesus made this peace for us by dealing with the very root of the problem. The root of the problem is our separation from God. That divide, that cavern that came about because of sin. And we could not have that relationship. Jesus bridges that. Jesus dealt with our sins by dying on the cross to bear the punishment for us. And when our sins are removed, we can have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So the result of this peace that Jesus brings, we can have peace with God, that vertical relationship that we've talked about. But wait, there's more. There's this peace within yourself when you discover this peace of Christ. This peace of having one's guilt removed, taken away because of our sins. Guilty feelings are just a great source of inward turmoil. You could get an ulcer if you mess with that too much. But the peace, that peace that became available to us on that very first Christmas, can give us tranquility. It can give us a sense of calmness. To have this confidence in God. Trust Him. Faith. By faith, we get to that peace. I couldn't help, as I was preparing for this, to think of the words that Horatio Spafford penned, the writer of the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like the sea billows roll, whatever my lot, whatever we're facing in life, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." That's that inner peace. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His blood for my soul. Are you able to say, under any circumstance, no matter how trying life might be, "It is well with my soul"? Are you able to rise above every fear, every disappointment when the world lets us down, the frustration, every anxious moment in your life, and experience that peace, that inner peace that Christ brings? It's when we're able to do that that we truly can experience this peace of God through Jesus. Peace with God, peace with ourselves. Jesus also gives us peace with others, that horizontal relationship. Before Jesus walked on earth, some 2,000 years ago, there was very little peace between the Jews and the non-Jews, the Jews and the Gentiles. The cultures of almost every ancient civilization, they hated the Jews. They despised their customs. They despised their beliefs. But remember, they were God's people. He made a covenant with them. Non-Jews had no part in God's covenant at the time. And so the Jews, they also looked down on them. But then if we fast forward in the New Testament, when both Jews and Gentiles, when Jews and non-Jews came to believe in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, this enmity came to an end. We read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. And Paul writes about it again in Galatians 3:28. There is no Jew or Gentile in Christ. There is no rich or poor, or educated or uneducated. We're all in Christ. We all have access to that same peace that he brings. You know, back during World War II, many of the Jews just mercilessly slaughtered the concentration camps by the Nazis. Just after the war, one of those Nazis who had participated in that just horrible atrocities, those concentration camps, he came to a little village and he started boasting about how he had killed hundreds of Jews. What he didn't know, that one of the people that heard his words, heard him boasting, was a Jew whose wife had been killed in a concentration camp, along with many other members of his family. This Jew and his wife were Christians. They believed in Christ. They believed in that king that came, that king that we're looking forward to coming back again. They shared the gospel of Christ with that Nazi soldier. They forgave him for killing that family. When the soldier saw this, he broke down. He cried. He realized how sinful he was, what he had done. He knelt down and he asked Christ to save him. And he became a Christian. In our eyes, the worst of the worst. And from that time onward, he loved God's people. That hatred disappeared. He found peace with God. He found a peace within himself. And because of that experience, he found a peace with others, finally. You know, sometimes in our waiting, we can be tempted to find quick fixes. We want short-term solutions to our problems. When that promised solution is taking maybe longer than we want. Isn't peace an example of that? We all yearn for peace. World peace, that inner peace that we're talking about. And it just seems like it's just out there yet a little further. And so we find these quick fixes. We have to have these little pieces of motivation to keep us going during that time of waiting. One of the more disturbing developments in the history of the Advent calendar is that in Nazi Germany, they used that calendar in their attempt to remove religious Christmas elements. Instead, that they used the calendar as a way to teach loyalty to children by producing a version that had Nazi symbols. It used traditional Christmas pictures that had a different story about a woodcutter, about a soldier, about a king who gets lost in the woods and encounters a woman with a baby who has some wise words for them. And they taught this story, trying to take Christ out of Christmas. And you know, we too have to be on guard. When we forget that that ultimate hope, that ultimate peace is found nowhere but in Christ. The Christ who said, it's not that he said it, he promised it, that he's going to come again. If we forget that, then we're seeking these gifts of Advent, hope, love, peace, and joy. We're seeking them in the wrong places. So may this season remind us that we are waiting for something better. And in that something better comes a peace that only Jesus can bring. A peace that is way so different. Amen. Back of the sanctuary there, we just invite you to give as the Holy Spirit leads you in this time of giving. It's not about receiving, but giving, and giving to forward his kingdom. Let us join together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given us, most especially your Son, Jesus, the giver of this peace that we've explored this morning. Lord, when that seems to slip away, when that seems to be hard to find, Lord, we pray that as we go from here, you would just shower us, point us in that direction of peace. And now as you go, be people of peace. Let peace live in your heart. Share the peace of Christ with all that you meet. Share that peace by acting out of compassion, not out of fear. Share peace by listening to all sides of the story. Share peace by praying for our world. And as you go out into God's creation, share peace and hope with those you meet.